Yeah. Five killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, they clear space and time and lead the murderous horde known as Experience Grind.
If it ain't broke.
Yeah, it's worked this long, right?
I'm a mess.
Like the patriarchy. Let's talk Hot Rod. All right.
What a segue.
Just make that the intro. Make that
that's
the
not
intro.
Even a segue. That is a shoehorn.
Yeah, that's the intro. Just start right, with, God, like damn. The patriarchy.
Let's talk about Hot Rod.
Uh-huh. I love it.
Greetings, listeners, and welcome to Experience Grind Podcast. The podcast about getting older and the experiences we gain from movies, games, and pop culture. I am Ryan, your host of this episode, and this week we're going to be talking about one of my favorite comedies, I think, especially after this viewing, maybe of all time. I love this little movie. It really speaks to me in a lot of ways, and I'm kind of surprised that this might be the first time for a few of my co-hosts tonight watching this one. So I can't wait to share this movie with them and see what they have to say. There are no wrong opinions, just in advance. Please, if you want to shit on this, shit on it. I love it. That came off weird and aggressive in a way I wish I didn't come off in the intro. So with that, I'm going to jump to my co-host that I already referenced. First, I'd like to introduce Sean. He is, like I said, one of my co-hosts. He also likes to party. Hi, Sean.
Listen, I've been drinking green tea all damn day, and I'm going to fight you over your thoughts about this movie, Ryan. All right?
I
go to church every damn Sunday.
I'm ready to kick some dicks in. Right now. We also have Kyle. He is also a co-host, and he also likes to party. Hi, Kyle.
Yeah, so I was getting off work, and my buddy Brad was like, hey, I got this acid, and I can't do it. And I was like, oh, well, I can do it. And so I did it, and then like I was walking around, and then I wanted to use my metal grinder, and I caught this in the eye. So it's been a day.
Sounds like a real bad one.
Also, I love Bill Hader.
Who doesn't?
He's the best.
You know who else is also the best? My other co-host, Sean, who we already talked about. No, get out of here. It's Brian, who is, like I said, another co-host who also likes to party.
It's true. I do like to party, but I know for a fact that these other two don't party, okay? You don't party.
That's such a good line. With that, we are going to party. These are, of course, all references to the movie we're talking about tonight, Hot Rod, which is a 2007 comedy from Akiva Schaffer. You might know him. He's one of the three members of The Lonely Island. And two of them, actually, you see all three of them in this movie, but two of them are very prominent. Obviously, you should know The Lonely Island from Saturday Night Live. Weirdly, synergy timing with a bunch of things we talked about recently. Last week was Happy Gilmore. Obviously, came from Saturday Night Live and Adam Sandler. And then also a weird kind of synergy play with John Wick with Ian McShane popping back up. So this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
The extended cinematic universe.
We've done it, boys. Several weeks.
Let's go.
I'm glad we get to see Ian McShane kick a little ass this time around.
I'm just glad to see Ian McShane hard stop, but everything that he did in this movie is fucking icing on the cake. So, yeah.
It's very fair. Very fair.
And like a good cake, not a bad cake. Like a shit cake.
The best of cakes.
I don't think icing even makes a shit cake better.
The kind of cake that you're surprised to find out is a cake and not something else.
Like the ones that's like designed to look like a shoe?
Yeah.
Or a designer handbag? Like you think
it's a shoe, but it's a cake.
But it's a cake. Yep. We're there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Louis Cake Ton. It's a cake. Let's go.
That's it. I have no idea how to segue away from cake, so I'm going to call attention to it.
You can go the distance.
Oh, nice. Shit. That's a good way to do it, dude. Well, I've got my long skirt and tall skirt and long jacket. I don't know.
Short
shit
skirt,
anymore.
Long jacket.
Fuck. Man, can I even do a cake reference? I am out. Hosting much, goes to somebody
much
else.
Much like Rod Kimball. You are not sticking these landings, my dude.
Hey-o!
No, there's many reasons why this movie speaks to me, and I definitely see myself as a Rod Kimball type. But we will get into that.
Did anybody notice that Ryan's mustache is not even real? He has been putting this on before every podcast for months.
That's how he gets into character.
It's a hormone disorder.
I didn't say anything when it rested solely right above his eyebrows. I was nice.
I think you look pretty.
Thank you. That's what I was
said
going
you look
for.
Shitty, Ryan.
Ah. Okay.
Like a shit well, cake.
I'm still gonna fall for you by the end of this episode, so it doesn't matter. You can call
it
me
does
shitty.
Not.
Be real weird and off-putting. Doesn't matter. But again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Before we start getting into Hot Rod, I do want to ask who here has seen Hot Rod before versus anybody this is their first time? So I see Kyle, you have seen Hot Rod before. You said you've seen this before?
Yeah. I saw this in theaters. I was hyped on this movie from the start. Big fan of Sandberg and the Lonely Island Boys.
Okay. And you were pretty favorable on it after your first viewing?
I think I was one of the... I think I took a girlfriend at the time. She hated it. And a few other people I've shown it to did not like it. But they're low class.
Oh, shit.
God damn. I want to know, Kyle, reach out to these people and tell them to watch this again. And I want to know their thoughts. And the year of our Lord, 2020X. Whenever you're listening to this, what do they feel about this movie? You know, it had to have changed.
I'll be like, how did you get this number?
Don't worry about that. How do you feel about Hot Rod?
Anything.
Tell me how you feel about Hot Rod.
So you're calling me up all these years later and all you want to know about is my thoughts on Hot Rod?
How much have I evolved as a person in terms of mid-2000s comedies?
All right.
Yeah, bitch. That's what I said.
So, it'll be interesting to see how your opinion holds up all these years later, if it still hits for you or not. That leaves then Brian and Sean, both of which I'm assuming have not seen this one before.
I thought I had seen it. I worked at a movie theater when this came out. I remember it coming out, and as I was watching it, I was like, no, I've never seen this. So
surprising.
It was an adventure for sure.
There are like two very specific scenes out of this movie that I knew that I had seen. And I was curious if this was one of those situations where I was younger and I sat down on a couch and those are the scenes that I remembered. And then I was just like super stoned or, you know, we were partying or something. Nope. No idea. I'd never seen any bit of the rest of the movies, but I did remember the two scenes that I had seen, so
I can't wait to talk about those two scenes later and maybe even take a guess at them. I think I might be able to guess at least one of them.
I would love for you to take a guess at give two scenes and see if you hit either one of them.
We'll turn this into a game. Everybody will have their chance to guess at what your two scenes are. I love that.
Sure.
But with that, let's get into it. We're just going to hop right into the story. We'll do that one first. I know characters usually comes up, but I'll give a quick rundown of the story because it's not a lot. Rod, played by Andy Samberg, is a son-in-law who desperately wants to earn his father-in-law's approval by beating his ass. And he is also a stuntman. with a crew who goes around and does stunts that are essentially jackass light little knockoffs. Sorry, Sean already.
It is his stepfather, not his father-in-law, which makes it even sadder.
Thank you. Yes, I'm sorry. My terminology is incorrect. Yes, he's the stepdad.
It just makes it even more like pathetic.
It's so stupid.
I can't wait to get into this further. But
stepdad.
Stepdaddy. He's also a stuntman. Why don't you love me?
He finds out that his stepdad has cancer. Or sorry, no, he has a heart problem. I am riffing this. I have no notes in the story because I never pay attention to the story. I am very sorry. He has a heart problem in which he needs a heart replacement for a very convenient $50,000. to which the only way Rod can beat his ass before he dies is to find that money for a replacement heart. And he has to do many different things, which all lead up to one big ass stunt. Will he get the money for Frank's heart so then he can beat him back to death? Find out in 2007's Hot Rod. The answer doesn't matter because it's all about the ride. It's comedy. Story is all there just to set it up. But with that, I do want to jump right into the story since we talked about it. Let's go to Kyle. What are your thoughts on Hot Rod's story?
My thoughts on Hot Rod's story are that it is really good. It's ridiculously stupid enough to push the plot along. Like you said, it's simple because the jokes, like most comedies, are in it's in the beef, it's in the meat, the potatoes. We get the bare bones.
It's the
menu.
Dick in the box.
Yeah, it is the dick in the box. It's good, man. It's easy to follow. It's ridiculous enough, but it makes sense. I love that, you know, they raise $5,000 to try to get $50,000 to pay for the jump, and then that's really not even enough. So who comes in to save the day? Why, of course, an AM radio station. Of the craziest left field pulls. Which, of course, also, I don't want to get too deep into character here, but this is when Chris Parnell shows up. Which is just a great little icing on the cake at this point in the movie, and him doing his broadcast. It's really, really good. It's hard to say with a comedy, like, do they get to a 5 level? I don't know. I think this is a very strong 4 for me, for sure. It's serviceable enough, it's enjoyable enough, it's ridiculous enough. So yeah, easily a 4.
I think that's really respectable. Brian, what are your thoughts?
I think this whole thing was a ride, but the beef of the story, the main, you know, chunk of what we're doing here is Rod needs to raise money to save his stepdad so he can kick his ass. And that is a beautiful premise for a movie. And so absurd that the elevator pitch alone is like, I'm so on board. Yeah. I'm so
you
on board. All
more.
You've given me is the log line. And you're like, Andy Samberg does stunts to raise money so he could beat up his stepdad. Yeah, I want to watch that movie. Brilliant. Yeah. And then you get into things like the screenplay and like the jokes just never stop. I mean, there's a line that's such a throwaway in here that had me rolling on the floor almost. It was just, they just say, just casually as they're in the backyard or the front yard doing these stunts, and they're just, oh, pools are great for holding water. It's so good. It's so dumb, but it's so good. And I think you
Bill
actually
Hader?
Have some surprising, yeah, some surprisingly deep characters. Mm-hmm. For what this movie is, and they have their own growth and arc, and it's actually really well done. So I'm gonna give it a 5.
Ah,
I love to hear it. That makes me very happy. Let's hop to Sean, and then I'll close out.
Man, this movie's stupid. This movie is. This movie is Lonely Island Boys, the movie. Like, straight up, if you find those songs really funny with how stupid and absurd they are, you're going to find this movie hilarious. Fortunately for me, I'm the kind of guy slash person that finds those songs to be funny, and I love the absurdity of it. Kyle referenced it earlier. The fact that it is an AM radio station that sponsors and has exclusive rights to broadcast a visual thing audibly is one of the funniest things.
You gotta see it to
believe it. You gotta see it to believe it. Yeah. Chris Parnell actually says. It's so good.
Beautiful.
One of the funniest concepts outside of the whole premise of the movie. I laughed out loud so many times during this movie. I wish I could go 4.5 because I think a lot of what really makes this movie shine are the characters and I think the tone. Things that are going to be in different categories here, so I'm just going to stick to a 4, but fantastic start.
Perfect. All right, so even though there's a little bit of a difference here, we're all on the high end. I'm going to buck that trend, and no, I'm not.
Zero.
Who am I kidding?
You guys suck.
No, I can't even sell this one.
I was about to be very surprised.
I'm with Brian. This is a 5 for me, mostly, and the story it's serviceable. It's a great, yeah, as an elevator pitch, this is perfect. Nothing more needs to be said about story. That alone is perfect. The dialogue, which is part of the story category rating, I think is so good in the way, 30 Rock or something is so good because it's just dense. The jokes do not stop. And I know, this, and again, comedy is subjective, so it might not hit for other people in the way it hits for me, but as I'm writing and doing notes for these things on rewatches, I usually write down the really good quotes I like or really good lines, and after 30 on this rewatch, I was well, fuck, what am I doing? I'm just I'm transcribing here. There's no point in this. So this movie speaks to me 100% in the dialogue. I think the script's great. Just everything's so good. The jokes all... you know what? Yeah, I've got a lot more to say, I think, for characters where I can go more and wax poetic. But story, as Brian said, I think it's fantastic. 5. And a very enthusiastic 5.
Absolutely.
All
right. I honestly, I thought you were going to go, when you said I'm going to buck the trend here, I thought you were going to just let a whole ass bonus point rip or something. Nah. There's no way. If you went with a 1 or 2 on that, I was going to punch you through my monitor.
Why, Sean, I have a question for you, actually.
Yo.
Just to circle back about what you said about this being a Lonely Island movie. Have you seen Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping?
I have not.
Dude,
you need to.
Is that a movie?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. It's a Lonely Island movie, a proper.
Has it
Lonely
been
Island
covered
movie
on the show?
No,
no, I don't think
then
so.
That is my next episode in 2 weeks.
Okay, well, that'd be fun. Awesome. I should also say the reason I did choose this one, I didn't even think about the John Wick or Happy Gilmore SNL connections. I was just like, oh, the Naked Gun movie's coming out, and I think that's Akiva Schaffer too. It so is. We got the same kind of energy going on and a little bit of tie into
firing
that
at all cylinders here.
That was why I did it. So if you do Hot Rod and Popstar, you also might want to go see The Naked Gun because that's them too. So it seems like the same kind
that
of comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, are you talking to the audience or me? Probably the audience. I'm just conceding.
The audience, but Sean, you can be part of the audience. You're the voice of the audience. You're the personification of the audience.
This one's not my show. I'm sitting back and listening.
Is the audience in the room with us?
Sean's the personification of the audience. That's why he talks like, duh, duh.
Oh, call her from Texas. Call her from Texas. Whoa. Where did you come from?
I don't think you're allowed to say that about the people who listen.
All right. Damage control time. I think Kyle meant that the masses in general are a bunch of
Sure.
Please do save this for Patreon. Patreon.com/experiencegrind.
Yes. Insult them and then ask them for money.
I don't think he meant it about our listeners specifically. I think Kyle meant movie audiences in general.
That's what we're going to go
let's
with.
Let's go with that.
Sean, please God feel free to Ryan, time
if Sean and is the voice of the audience fuck out of the this. Podcast.
I'm so Ryan glad Micah hops in right as we're like, please cut this. Cut the last two, no, 3 minutes. No, I love
that. That was a great bit. That was a great
bit. I don't know that it is.
We're like, I'm crying.
I'm just upset that I didn't get it. Day.
How am I the reserved one here?
Did
Ryan have a heart attack? Boys. Do we need to raise $50,000 conveniently?
That was good.
Oh, shit. Listeners, thank you for sticking with us through this little fucking meltdown. But we're going to shift gears here a little bit and move on to the characters. Brian, can you start us off on talking about the characters?
Yeah, I can start us off on characters. Rod Kimball, Andy Samberg, this arrested development protagonist with a fake mustache and a dream. He's amazing. And then you got his crew with, you know, Hitler and Barry and Kenny Powers.
Who's Hitler?
Jorma, yeah. to Coney.
Oh,
he's okay. Hitler in Kung Fury.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, all right, sure. Okay,
he's great. Thank too, for the man. Clarification. I fucking love
he's
him.
So as... good, dude. This whole cast is unreal. Isla Fisher, Ian McShane, Will Arnett is in there for a good clip. And when is Will Arnett not the best?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so mm-hmm. Your casting is phenomenal. Bill Hader.
That was Amy
Bill
Adams.
Bill Hader. I thought it was Bryce Dallas Howard.
I knew it wasn't that. Come on.
No.
Come on.
I thought it was Amy Adams.
Isla Fisher, guys. No, I knew it was Isla Fisher the whole time.
Yeah.
Something that happens with her in her earlier roles is her accent slips through sometimes, and it's mm-hmm. Hilarious. It's
yeah, it's very cute. Yep. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess our antagonists in this movie are Frank and Gravity.
Sure.
Mm. That's true.
The limits of the human body to withstand pain.
Yeah. Yeah. And like how much science you cannot do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just let Danny McBride tell you to go real fast for every jump. That's how you make them.
So good. No, I love these characters. I love these characters so much. There's a surprising amount of depth to a lot of them, which I already alluded to when we talk story. And just the relationship between Andy Samberg's character and Ian McShane's character is so good. And it's so incredible. Subtle for most of the movie. And then, yeah, I mean, it's just... God damn it, it's another 5.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I am really surprised
Chris Pardo.
You're going as high as you're going. For some reason, when I started off this episode, I thought you were going to be the lowball on this one.
Me?
Yeah, I don't know why.
I laughed nonstop for 88 minutes. I'm not going to be the low one on this one.
That's true.
I love to hear that. Can I ask one question before we move on to the next person who will be decided as you give me an answer? Who is your favorite character, would you say, from Hot Rod?
Oh. I think it might be Dave. I think it might be Bill Hader's character.
Dave's great. Dave's great. And this is one where, like, there is no wrong answer. You choose anybody here, and there's a great reason you chose that character. Dave's good.
Yeah.
Dave's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to what other people are going to say with their character, because I'm going to ask everybody this question. Just know it's coming. Kyle, what did you think about the characters in Hot Rod?
So, I'm glad you were going to ask. I was going to start mine off anyways by saying who my favorite character was and just saying Bill Hader. Bill Hader.
Oh, another Bill Dave Hader fan. Man.
Fucking mm-hmm. Dave is the absolute best. When he calls Rod at like 3 a.m. because he is tripping, and I don't, it's such a great little moment and story. I love that Bill Hader has it. And I just want to take this opportunity to tell my favorite Bill Hader, Andy Samberg story, and that they both auditioned for SNL at the same time, and they were riding up the elevator together. And Bill Hader was just going up, and Andy Samberg had a lot of props. And Bill Hader remembered thinking, oh, shit, man, I'm going to bomb. This guy has all these props. And Andy Samberg was thinking, oh, fuck, man, I'm going to bomb. I brought all these stupid fucking props, and this guy doesn't have anything. He's a serious comic. And yet they both got it. And I love that. Amazing. You see their friendship from that in this. I also do just quick shout out. Danny McBride is fucking great, man. Like, it's insane how good he is even back here. And Bill Hader and everybody. Characters are fantastic. Honestly, a 5 for me too. I love these guys.
I love to hear that. Keep the 5s going. Unless you don't want to. Sean!
No pressure.
Right off the cuff, 1, but hear me out. No, it's not going to be a 1. My favorite character in this movie... That is a very hard question. That is the hardest thing that I've been asked all week. Because every character in this movie oozes over the top personality. You mm-hmm. see a character and they are so well defined that you know how that any one of them will react in any one of the situations that they may be walking in on. And I think that lends a lot to the the script writing and the storytelling and the character world building in general, that it can't be anything less than a 5 from me. And holy shit. Oh, man, it's so easy to say Dave, right? I'm actually going to go Frank. Frank is easily...
Good pick.
Dude, Frank is so funny. Every line that he drops as you have Rod trying to attack him, he's like, play the victim and you'll be the victim. Like, he has... I wish that we could take quips from action movie December part uno or due. Doesn't matter, and put it in here, because that's getting a bonus point. All of the bonus points. 5. Frank rules.
Nice.
Ian McShane kick so much ass.
All right. Well,
what about you, Ryan?
I'm
who's
not
your favorite, Ryan?
I will first say this is going to be another 5. I think all the characters are fantastic. My favorite character, I love Jorma Taccone as Kevin.
Kevin is a close second.
Is so hilarious to me. Uh-huh. And I think the thing that pushes him to the top is when Rod walks in on him singing to his stuffed animal collection, The Night Moves.
Yes.
I that stuck in my brain. That has been in my brain since I've seen this in theaters. I have not forgotten this image. And then it leads right into Cool Beans and like, how could you ever forget?
Cool Beans is great.
I love their relationship. I love as they both go it, or as Rod goes into battle, how they embrace each other in like the two mm-hmm. different ways, but like it's great. All these characters are great. We have not talked, I don't think, enough about Will Arnett, who is a perfect douche, but also still managed
Ryan,
to be like
no.
so fucking
Ryan.
funny.
Ryan,
right.
Ryan,
right.
Ryan,
no,
no,
wait, wait,
no,
right.
Ryan,
wait, Sean, Ryan, wait.
No.
Wait. Shay.
No.
Wait.
I'm going to go get some dog bags.
What's his buddy's name at the bar, Schmitty?
Sullivan. Sullivan.
Sullivan. Sullivan, you son of a bitch. I owe you a nut tap.
We just had a raccoon. Sullivan's going to love this.
Here's the thing, when does Will Arnett not bring it 110 fucking percent, man?
That's true.
That guy never phones it in.
I don't know. He's doing like Ford truck commercials now, and it feels a little phoned
that's
in.
That's a paycheck. That's a paycheck.
Well, this is literally what you asked. You asked, come on. And I gave it to you. Matthew McConaughey phones it in quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Continuing.
All right.
We also have not talked about even like a C character. In most movies, a C character like Richardson wouldn't stick out. But I fucking love Richardson in this one simple gag of
doing the dance.
It's a dance. That's all it is. It's the party boy, essentially, but he's fully clothed. But with like various like interpretations or differences, like one time he's running around just throwing like flyers at people in like the most aggressive
just
way.
So not even before not even breaking just into the small party amounts, board. Like books worth of flyers. Like he's throwing the book of flyers at people, like full on fastball in the face.
But I think in like a lesser comedy, this would just be a joke fucking throw off character. But even Richardson has some fucking art because, like, when the audience starts booing Rod at a certain point during the movie, he's just like, shut up! Don't do this! And, like, he's trying to, like, you know, defend his hero. Like, he cares, and, like, there's a passion. And I will get more into this, I think, in the direction. But I love the characters in this movie. I think they are all, like, very funny, very specific. But they're also, like, not just throwaway jokes. There's like something more substantial to each and every one of them. They're great for a comedy, surprisingly great. And five, and a very enthusiastic five. Not even to say, no, that's for the later one. Never mind.
We just witnessed a real internal struggle.
Yeah, would it be terrible to say? Yes, it would be terrible to say, but I will say it anyways. You had a little bit of your Cosby coming out, brother. Like that.
Oh, no. That could be interpreted in so many ways.
That's not what I heard at all.
That was good, though. I felt unsafe and had to cover my drink.
That comment comes for later. All right. Jesus Christ. This is why I should not be in charge.
This is great. I haven't laughed this long.
Yeah, this is a fantastic app, man.
My face hurts from laughing, bro.
Shit. I wish we had listeners who would complain because I think we would get them now. Don't after this that. Episode.
Please, unsubscribe if you think complain. This is bad.
Whoa, no, right. Sean, slow down.
We can't afford that kind of loss, man.
Oh, good Lord. I love it. I love that Hot Rod is providing this kind of energy. It's so good. I got to open up the spreadsheet because I don't remember what comes after characters.
Style is next.
Style.
And with style, we go to Sean right away.
Man. You say that this movie brings out this kind of energy, and it truly is just like the tone that this movie sets. Like from beginning to the end, and the entire acid trip that is the center of this movie, it is setting a certain tone. Like, man, that's the tone. Genre, comedy, knocks that out of the park, right? The music. Mm-hmm. Now, the music was pretty cool beans. I'm a little upset that Ryan already said this earlier, but it was
cool beans.
Cool beans.
Beans.
Pretty cool beans. Cool beans. Cool beans. The fact that somehow turns into a stupid extended looping musical cut out of so nowhere.
Good. Out of nowhere.
From that to the entire tune, or entire town, singing him to the jump before all breaks down into a riot and looting begins.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. The music, which is already exceptionally ridiculous and funny, then marries even more into the tone and the ridiculous style of this movie. Easy five from me. This, like, it ended. And I was like, what the fuck did I just watch? Audibly said that out loud. And not in one of those ways where it's like the Hateful Eight or something where I'm like, what the fuck did I just watch? That sucked. Like, this, I was like, what? So, five big ones from this guy.
I like it. A strong start to the style category. Let's follow up with Brian. What are your thoughts?
Okay, yeah. Much like Sean ended the movie thinking, what the hell did I just watch? I spent a lot of the movie asking, what the hell am I watching? Because, I mean, it is a fever dream of a film. Things happen and you're like, why is Ebenezer Scrooge coming out of a school bus with a fully cooked goose? What is happening? Why are we randomly cutting to this weird Cool Beans music video mashup? It is wild, and it definitely establishes a tone. Style-wise, I'm very confused about when this movie is supposed to take place because it feels very 80s, 90s. And then he's like, oh yeah, I looked it up online before it came. And then
he's using Movie Maker?
And Will Arnett has a cell phone. And it's like, I don't know when this is supposed to happen.
But Sam Berg also says at one point, like, I looked it up online.
Online.
So it is. Mm-hmm. It is current age. It's like Napoleon Dynamite. It's very Midwest town current year.
I'm glad you said that because when I was the beginning of this movie, I was getting very much Napoleon Dynamite vibes the whole time. I was like, oh, are we in for another one of these movies where plot's not really going to happen and it's just going to be silliness for an hour and a half? But luckily, we do have something of a plot with Frank's heart and whatnot. But this movie is just so much damn fun, and it is shot in a way that is retro without being retro. It's like nostalgic for, even when it released, it was like nostalgic for itself, which is a weird thing to say. Long story short, I think I'm going with a very, very strong 4 on this.
Very nice.
All right. And like, you ought to get automatic bonus points for using I Just Died in Your Arms by Cutting Crew. So,
oh man.
Oh, well, I am gonna make Kyle wait because after hearing that, I'm gonna hop in because I agree with a lot of what you said up until the Cutting Crew comment. When I just talk shit about another movie, Happy Gilmore, and using the Tuesday's Gone. Like it's an overplayed one. I feel like I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight is one of the ones that's a little bit overplayed.
Yeah.
But that's it.
One other movie.
That's it. That is it. I think this soundtrack, every other song. I do too. I love the soundtrack. I think this is one of my favorite comedy soundtracks, period. I had it on CD. I listened to it. The Cool Beans is really great on the CD. There's like an extended like rap segment and it goes on for 3 minutes. It's this music speaks to me and it's all very unique. You don't hear like Two of Hearts anywhere else. You don't hear that song where they're doing the riot
fucking
in the street
dancing they're doing
anywhere else.
Two of Hearts.
Josh Homme of mm-hmm. Queens of the Stone Age is in the final act of this movie as the band singing Gown. They just made up a fucking band and he's just in it singing, doing his shit. I love the style of music here. I think something maybe we haven't talked about, I would ding it on, is maybe how the shots are framed, how the colors, how it's like lit, all of that's maybe a little just fine. It's fine. It's serviceable. I think this movie lives and breathes by its dialogue, its sound, the music, the editing, I think, is very strong. That might be part of the style, to which, like, the editing, I think, is some top-notch editing. But style-wise, this is a movie that within 5 minutes sold me. The opening crash to then the title freeze frame of him jumping in the scooter and then Hot Rod popping up, I was like, I'm in good hands. They know what they're doing. I'm in. What, do this for the next 80 minutes and I'm in. And they did it. And they kept doing it in more and more clever and interesting ways. This is a 5 for style for me as well. Sean.
I just wanted, both of you had mentioned, Brian had mentioned the era, Ryan, you had mentioned the colors and stuff like that, and the not really being able to tell what era it's from. What I wanted to point out was you mentioning the colors. I love how, even though it was set in, you know, today or whenever today was 20 years ago, the colors were purposefully used to put you more in a time of the late 70s where Evel Knievel was prolific. So it's like, it's putting you in the time of when, like, the magic of that was going on, but with, you know, some of the benefits of today. And I just thought that that was such an awesome touch to transport you to a different time when that was cool. And this dude's looking like, yeah, my dad, he was a stunt driver. He knew Evel Knievel, blah, blah, blah. Like, the use on the colors was just, I love that. I thought it was really clever to do it that way.
That's a good take. I didn't see it that way, but I can see it being like a throwback 70s kind of style. The especially like his outfit in the stunt at the very end definitely pop visually in a way that I can agree with you there. All right, Kyle, take us home, buddy. Where are you at on style?
Yeah, I mean, just fuck you for bringing so many high value things lately. It's a 5.
Damn you for bringing us entertainment.
Yeah, how dare you, sir? Make me have a good time.
I can fix this. I've seen some.
No, stuff. I know. No, Hot Rod is fucking awesome, man. I really waffled on giving it the bonus point because I don't know. It knows exactly what it wants. If you like The Lonely Island, like, this is The Lonely Island. The way, what really sells it, like, I think you guys honestly kind of undersell it. The way they use music to, like, add flavor to nearly every aspect of this movie, and every one of them hits perfectly. Ryan says that one stands out. I totally disagree. I think it's supposed to be cheesy and corny, and that's why it's there. And for me, it works. I love the Two of Hearts when Will Arnett shows up and he sees Danny McBride and Bill Hader just dancing, and they keep cutting to them doing more and more stupid dances. I love Bill Hader at one point is literally doing like the Snoopy Kid dance where he's sideways to the camera and just kicking his little feet out. It's so close to the bonus point. But like you said, everything else is just, it's not bad, but it doesn't have that extra elevation. It's great. Mm-hmm. It works perfectly, but it just doesn't kick it up. So 5.
I do like that they used almost every song from The Final Countdown except for The Final Countdown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes!
There are like 4 Europe songs in this movie. And they're like, oh, and we're not going to play that one.
Or that one. I know. I love it. I love that. They and even really show the CD at one point to like make sure you know.
To really drove home the point. Especially if you know that CD. I was like, oh, Final Countdown's coming. Like, oh, no, it's not.
Mm-mm. It's such a good subversion. I think there's a lot of good subversions in this movie. To that, we will go with entertainment value. And let's start off with Brian. What did you think about the entertainment of Hot Rod? And this includes box office, right? And
I didn't really like it that much. I was like, oh, I guess I'll struggle through this. But no, this movie was so much goddamn fun. Box office, it does have a little bit of an issue there. This movie cost $25 million to make, allegedly, and then only made $14 million worldwide, ooh, which Lord. Is not what you're looking for when you produce a Hollywood feature. You usually want to at least make back the money that you spent making it.
Not hot.
So that's going to hurt it a little bit. But in my view, in the year of our Lord 2020X, whenever you're listening to this, this movie is amazing and so much fun to watch. And the whole time, if I wasn't questioning what the hell I was watching, I was busy laughing. And it's kind of a fun balance to keep. So I, as much as I want to bring it down to a 4 for the box office, I can't. It's a 5.
Hey,
you could always do what I did a couple of months ago, and you give it a 4 because that's the real score, but then you give it the bonus point.
Yeah, it's like, I like it, god damn it. It's a 5.
And it's a 5. Yeah.
Like, I know in my heart I should give it a 4, but I can't.
Yeah. We can just call that the bonus point. I like it, god damn it. ..
Like, my brain says 4, but my heart says 5.
Yeah. I'm jacked up on green tea. I've been drinking it all day. Giving it a 5.
I go to church every goddamn Sunday. This is my hat.
You're going to bring the demons out of me? I think that's a great way to start this one. Kyle, do you have a good follow-up? What are your thoughts?
I love the angry dance montage in the woods that then turns into the longest hill fall of all time.
I love before he falls, he just goes, shit.
Shit. Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
It falls for forever. Like at least 2 minutes. I'm sure longer, I think. It's a very long scene. And then, of course, he gets the revelation at the end, which is also great. It also shows off Rod's durability and why he can survive the crash. I don't know, man. I'm waffling a lot. It sucks because fuck you, Ryan, but it's a 5.
I
love it. Yeah. I love it, man.
I guarantee my next pick is not going to be a 5. you are welcome in advance. I'll hop in real quick and just say I echo everybody's. I have really nothing else to say outside of, I don't think we brought up the, there's also the general reception, right, is part of this category, to which it seems very all over the place. Letterboxd is actually pretty high, it looks like, at 3.6, but Metacritic seems to have an issue with Hot Rod. Metacritic is much more negative at 43. And then what are the Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb?
IMDb was not, I think it was like 6.7.
6.7, which is actually one of the higher ones, yeah. And mm-hmm. then the Rotten Tomatoes is split. Critically, it's only a 39, but audience, it's a 64, so...
These critics are so fucking stupid, man.
Wow, yeah. They did so not.
This fight. Really has a huge range from like 39% in some ratings to 72% in others.
I bet MacGruber has similar ratings.
I think MacGruber's definitely worse.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
MacGruber did not do good at all. I think
Kyle's right about that.
Yeah.
Either way, yeah, it shows that critics maybe don't have their finger on the pulse when it comes to comedies, and that shit really does live later on. We also just went over this Wet Hot Summer, too. But regardless, I'm not going to hold that against the movie. I echo what everybody said. This is a fucking blast. I love this movie. I've seen it dozens of times before this, and I was just as excited to watch it again this time, and it still was a quick and easy breezy 80 minutes. You want a short ass movie? This is one, and it's a really short good, ass, fun perfect one.
Comedy.
Mm-hmm. 5. And an enthusiastic.
It seems like
5.
The kind of movie that each time you watch it, it gets a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Like you notice things that you didn't notice in the last watch.
Yeah, yeah. It's again joke dense, which is something I like. It might not be for everybody. If you're into that, this one might hit your mood, but. Before we wrap that up, Sean, what are your thoughts?
Wait, you know, before we get to Sean's, can we all guess his favorite scenes? And then he can reveal them to us in this category. The scenes that he had
previously seen?
Yeah.
The scenes that I had seen. Oh,
the two scenes. That's right. Mm-hmm. The two scenes. Okay.
Because I have my two that I think are his favorites.
They aren't my favorites. They're what I had seen prior to seeing this movie.
Yeah.
Mm. I think I made my answers based on that, so I think I'm still good.
You want to lead it off?
Sure. The first one is the initial fail pool jump where he just doinks into the water.
Oh.
Okay.
And the second one is the crazy Danny McBride fight against the guy who's pissed about his RV.
Okay. Brian.
My guesses are the you look pretty, you look shitty, goodnight, Denise scene. And the very first fight with Frank.
Okay. Ryan.
The flash dance. I'm not going to do that.
Well, Ryan.
Sorry. I love
that
it.
That felt mean.
It's fair. It puts us on both equal playing fields.
Hey, caller from Texas.
Flash dance. It's the flash dance and then the fall, long fall, and then maybe the babe wait scene.
Babe.
You know what? Kyle's the only one that got one. It was the pool and the very first initial when he crashes into the side of the RV, or he gets over the RV and smokes into the other side of the ramp.
Yeah, okay.
The very beginning of the movie.
Oh, the very first one. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the mail truck he goes thing? To go over and boom.
Okay.
Yep.
I got one. Go me.
Yeah, that
I don't know why. I just feel like I remember seeing that a lot of places, like the jump making you think, and then it's just doinks into the pool. So,
yeah, it must have been when I was younger at like a house party or something, and it came on because that's literally just the first 20 minutes of the movie. I'm missing a lot on the in between. Like, dude, if I saw that first Frank fight, I would have been sold on the rest of the movie. Like, Jesus Christ. You never sneak up on someone who's been in chemical warfare? Like, what? What kind of bad shit crazy is that? it's also on me. Not a lot of people went out to see this movie, and that is a real big fucking shame. But I hope that, unlike me, people saw this much sooner in their lives. And if you haven't seen it, go and watch it. If you like dumb, stupid humor, like, it's smart, but it's stupid. It's
perfectly said.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. Did anybody ding it for the box office?
Not really. I gave it a 5.
Nope. All right.
Fuck one, the box two, office.
Three, two. I'm thinking it was never going to play internationally.
It did 14 million domestic out of the 25. So, like, it's almost there. Plus, it probably made some back, and this is when DVD was a thing. So, like, it did fine. It made its money back eventually, I'm sure. It has no problem. It just wasn't, like, a huge success. It wouldn't get bonus points.
It
probably took
it 10 years to be in the black, but it made it there eventually.
Yeah. It's there, and it's been 10 years.
And if it didn't, this podcast right here is gonna save them. Yeah, you're welcome.
We finally made our money on Hot Rod.
You're welcome, Andy. If Paramount all of a sudden Monday morning were like, "Oh shit, our numbers are up!" Like Hot Rod is just fucking going off the charts for some reason.
Put it on Paramount Plus and get some subscribers. Yeah. I feel like every time we watch a movie that's not streaming somewhere, the next week it shows up on streaming.
Of course it does,
dude. All the time. All the time. We will cover something. I will have rented it. Mm-hmm. And the next week it's streaming.
Curse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Luckily, this was through my library of all things with like all the fucking classics. Hot Rod is there. I was like, what the fuck? This is where like you go to watch like German art house stuff and like, God, depressing and things. Rod. And there's just Hot Rod. And then Sasquatch Sunset of all things. And I'm like, all right. I like my library service. I haven't watched it yet, but me too. Maybe a future episode. That would be fun.
Ooh.
All right. So, Sean, I'm sorry. Go back to entertainment value.
I dinged it 1 point for each of you that didn't. So, two.
It's for real, too?
What?
No, that's going to be a 5.
What?
I was ready to type it in there.
Yeah, he was. All right. That leads us to our last category, direction. And as I mentioned earlier, this is Akiva Schaffer, one of the three members of The Lonely Island. What did everybody think of his handling? I think this is his first movie, too, of Hot Rod. Sean, what are your thoughts?
I will say this. I don't know what he could have done to have done a better job at making what he made. 5. I don't know what he could have done to have made what I viewed any better. And it was very clear to me that this was a batshit vision that got made probably exactly how he wanted to. And I was thoroughly entertained and enjoyed the shit out of me. I enjoyed the shit out of it. Things got weird.
I was enjoying the movie. The movie was enjoying me. It was a great experience all around.
There was lotion. 5.
We became one. I became Sean Rod.
All is one.
Great. All right. I love the passion. I love the succinctness. Is anybody else passionate and wants to hop up on direction? Kyle, all right. Hand went up.
I don't want to make the same mistake that I did make last week. And I think, honestly, thinking more on it, I might change last week again. Only because I think I love Kyle Newacek, but the difference I would mainly qualify between him and Akiva Schaffer. Akiva Schaffer is the caliber of director. Like, you know when you're seeing something directed by him. He has a clear direction voice. That shows here in Hot Rod. I think we also can't deny it's 88 minutes long. And like you said, just the density of jokes crammed into 88 minutes, man. I gotta give it a 5. Knocks it out of the fucking park, dude.
Alright. Man, some very strong high marks for direction so far. Brian, you gonna buck the trend or are you gonna follow?
You know I am. You know I'm gonna buck
it. I love
it. Come on, no.
You trend bucker.
This movie didn't know what time it was supposed to be in. It didn't make its money because it wasn't very clever. No. This is his film debut. Mm-hmm. And it's this good. I mean, like, before this, he was mostly just... He directed 68 episodes of SNL. And then he showed up and did this. Mm-hmm. Granted, everybody in it is from SNL. And he and Jorma and Andy basically completely rewrote the script, uncredited. But, like, I don't know how I could possibly knock it. Same as what Sean said. It's a 5. It has to be a 5. And I feel like my score that I've given it is a lot higher than what I intended it to be.
Right?
Same.
I
almost full sent on that 2 just to balance myself out.
Right?
All right. So, and this is whatever. Y'all can feel how y'all want to feel. And this goes to you listeners too. You feel how you want to feel too. But like, if a comedy is firing on all cylinders and for 80 minutes it makes you fucking laugh, then that is a 5-star experience. 100%. You don't have to get into the subjectiveness of like, did it make me feel? Did it bring like this new experience to something? Did it make me like question existence? Or like, did it have like the most clever? Fucking make you laugh, because that's what a comedy is supposed to do. Just like a horror movie, did it thrill you? Did it scare you? Did it like fucking make you uneasy? If it did, then that's like a higher tier experience. So like, I think if this all made you laugh, subjectively I'll just speak from my experience because I know my experience. I love this. This made me fucking laugh. It still makes me laugh after many times. I don't feel bad about the very high scores I'm giving it. This is a 5-star comedy for me. I love this movie. This is another 5 for me direction-wise. I want to fillet Akiva Schaffer a little bit because he is a man worth fillating. I think he is so fucking good here at 80 minutes. The fucking editing is so sharp and so good in the way, like, the babe way, and then it cuts before he can finish. Like, the editing is so fucking good. There's a vision, and, like, going back to, like, the Napoleon Dynamite feel, like, this not only does the Napoleon Dynamite thing in a way that Jared Hess could never do again after Napoleon Dynamite, but I think it does it better and more insightfully with, like, a better structure. And, like, it's a fucking movie, as Brian pointed out. Like, I am so blown away that this is his first movie. I think Popstar continues this trend in a way that just makes it fucking sense. He continues the momentum in Popstar. I can't wait to see what he does in The Lethal Weapon. I think he is a pure comedic voice who is, like, as Kyle said, fully formed. He's got, like, a style and a voice, and he's, I think, knocking it out of the park, at least for me. I fucking, yeah, 5, an enthusiastic 5. I've used too many bonus points, otherwise I would have used one, but I also think I gave 5s this entire episode, so, like, using a bonus point would feel like a little bit masturbatory, and that's, like, no good. That's no good. So, like, 5s, this is a 25 for me.
Dang, boyo.
That's a perfect movie.
It is a perfect comedy. Yes, it is a perfect comedy. For me.
This is nothing to do with those points at all, but talking about the budget and stuff earlier, after having seen Happy Gilmore 2 last week and then seeing this, how does this have $5 million more in its budget than Happy Gilmore 2 did?
Yeah.
That is insane to me. Did Ian McShane, like, demand $12 million or what happened?
Could have been.
Jesus.
Possibly. A lot crazy. More, like, I don't know.
This is basic, too.
There were some stunts, yeah. Too. Happy Gilmore did.
Yeah, there's some stunts, but, man, it's like looking back at, like, some of the mid-90s films that still had $20, $30 million budgets, and you're like, okay. Eggs cost $14, but you can make movies for cheaper? Insane.
All right. So with that, I think we have sufficiently rated this movie. That will give us a total. Brian, what's our grand total for Hot Rod?
Well, it's a lot higher than
movie ever.
It's a lot higher than what the critics and online rating community have given it. Our total score is a 97.
Heyo.
Damn.
Woo! All right, everybody. Which, stop what you're doing right now. Watch Hot Rod, obviously.
Surprisingly comes in at a lower score than one of Ryan's previous picks, The Handmaiden.
Well, that's a lower score
than The Handmaiden. Handmaiden ended up getting 99.
Wow. Almost perfect.
We really liked that movie, apparently.
That movie was really good.
Hot Rod was PG-13, and there was no boobs.
Yeah, and also less octopus. Everybody that goes and watches this movie, go onto one of these rating sites and jack that score up, baby. Let's go.
I think Paramount, that's why
fake accounts.
Hit us up.
Letterboxd is higher. I feel like this movie in modern day is reading better than... I don't even remember this thing being advertised. I worked at a movie theater.
Wasn't.
I forgot it came out.
Mm-mm. It wasn't advertised. It was dropped in theaters, and it was like a limited run at that, too.
Unless you had the opportunity SNL. To see this movie for free and still didn't.
Yeah. And you would have reason to, because it was nothing. It wasn't advertised.
Yeah.
Hot Rod, it just sounds like it could be like Sylvester Stallone doing fucking cars and shit. You don't know what that is. What does Hot Rod mean?
Yeah,
who also
cars.
Would have known at like that point, the caliber, the caliber of like these guys, who these people were gonna be in 20 years.
Right,
that's true too.
Mm-hmm. Like it's wild to look back on this right now, but man,
yeah. In 2007, a lot of these guys were barely known.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Imagine this that dropping out. Just be like, who are these movie? Guys?
So.
I'm so glad it wasn't because,
oh, yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, the original script and everything, they had to pivot everything in this movie to make it not feel like it was obviously written for Will Ferrell.
You know that if Will Ferrell was attached to this, this would have done insane money. And, like, that's just because he's a name at that time.
It was at the time when Will Ferrell was, huge. Yeah.
It's like right
every
after
Wedding
Crashers. Every
comedy in that time was written for Will Ferrell.
Yep. Yeah, the mid-2000s were a weird time for comedy. You had like three hitters.
I want to go back.
To 2005?
Take me back, please.
Those comedies still exist. They're just fewer now, but they still come around.
It also was the time of one of the worst comedies I've ever seen.
I'm sorry. Dane Cook made at least three or four. Which one?
No. This is way worse.
Mr. Brooks was art.
I said what I said.
You ever seen that?
The one with Jessica Simpson?
I did see Tomcats. Yes. With Shannon Elizabeth, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that movie fucking sucks.
Yeah, that's a piece of shit.
It's Horatio Sands is in that shit. And
it's a straight piece of shit.
Oh, it's so bad, dude.
Employee of the month.
It's got Jake Busey in it.
Piece of shit.
Ah, yes. The most famous of the Buseys.
Jake Busey.
That's shit. Man, did you guys, talking about bad movies, any one of you planning on watching War of the Worlds?
No.
I almost watched it the other night.
Out of morbid curiosity.
And then I watched Madea instead, but it was going to be one of the two. I think I made the wrong choice, and it should have been War of the Worlds.
I don't know. Okay, it makes me just want to watch the much better War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise.
That one's great, but I want to see this bullshit with Ice Cube over Skype.
So, Brian, you said you almost watched it out of morbid curiosity, and this only really came on my radar because I had listened to a couple of different things where people went into it the same way.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, it's 0% of Rotten Tomatoes, and that's why I watched it. And it has me wishing it could go even lower.
Wow.
Like, worst movie in a decade.
That might be my next movie choice.
And it makes me want to watch it.
Upset?
I like bad movies, and I don't know if I want to. I'll let you guys tell me if it's worth it.
Really, I get so curious. Like, how did they make every decision wrong?
Right?
How did they make the wrong call so many times to get to this?
What are the people saying? That
thing intrigues me.
Same. It's why I want to watch Cosmopolis.
One of them said halfway through the movie, they were just thinking to themselves, what am I missing here? Like, what did I miss? What part am I not getting? Anyways,
can't
folks,
wait to go
if you want to know the answer to
movie.
That and the answer to the reason of life, you can go to linktree.com/experiencegrind. And find all the sweet ass links, like the link that says the answer to life. And it's actually the button that says our Discord. And then there's also another one that says the answer to my life, which is the Patreon button. So click there, come over, give us some money, and get some bonus episodes, which we're going to go and start doing in just a couple of minutes. Ryan, back to you.
Well, thank you for that lovely segment. Ad bump. I don't remember what it's called. Sponsorship.
You want to talk about sponsorships?
The secret
Have you heard
of life is in our
cornbread?
Discord?
What about Discord? Huh?
Apparently we house the secret
gonna
of life.
I'm going to turn to Joe Biden over here.
Within our Discord.
What are you talking about?
It's a high sell.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, all right, so it doesn't need to come back to me. I'll host it. But
yeah.
Kyle, next week, it's your choice, right?
I know, but I don't. I'm not 100%. I wanted to give you guys a choice off air, but fuck it. I'll do it here. I'm down to two. I don't want to do the original because, unfortunately, spoiler alert, listeners, we will be sans Brian next week. He's doing life events. So I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up the good without Brian, because I know you haven't seen one of these. So I have the choice here between continuing the comedy SNL vibe with Night at the Roxbury, or I thought we'd throw a weird curveball and do an old-fashioned potpourri.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Could we meet in the middle with Corky Romano?
Oh, God. Corky. I can't, because I'm going to come to a Corky Romano with guns ready.
Yeah,
I am going to defend it.
Let's go.
No,
to shoot that fucker out of his misery.
No, yes, no, yes, no, no. We should buy a boat.
Not to defend. Not to defend. So I don't know. I kind of do.
Oh shit!
I kind of do want to do Roxbury though, because both of you haven't seen it for a long time. You said so.
I've seen that at the Roxbury.
It would be it's been a hot minute about at this point. I don't remember anything about it.
I've seen it. I couldn't tell you the plot, times, man.
At all.
Okay.
I could tell you the plot to Ladies Man better than Night at the Roxbury, which says something.
Let's do it.
Says here your hobbies are Dabbit. Oh no, that's the butt.
That's the butt.
That's one of my favorite lines ever.
Dude. So fucking good.
He's really interviewing good. For the Christian radio station. It says your habits are Dabbit. Oh no, that's the butt.
Ooh, Tim Meadows does not get enough credit ever.
No, he's
like Chris Parnell. He's an icon. They've never been able to break out in their own thing properly, but they are always crush. Like the best fucking spice on so any project good. They pop into.
Just crush. Mm-hmm. All right, fuck it, Roxbury. Let's do Roxbury, boys.
Sweet. Let's
keep the good vibes rolling. Because Sean's getting sounds comedy good. Next week too. So.
All right.
Maybe. I don't know. It's going to be, we're going to be recording on my birthday for my pick. So I've been,
it should be personal. I think
we're recording the day after my birthday for mine.
Yeah, next week.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, boys.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We'll shut the fuck up and we'll get to Patreon.
Ryan, go tell the listeners what they can do.
I never ever plan to tell them something. Listeners, go find your totem spirit, whatever animal that might be.
Eagle!